Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
And welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scab.
Tonight on the Service Dog Show, we have Vince and Lisa, who are both disabled veterans. They're married. They both have service dogs, and they are truck drivers, so they get to see quite a bit of the country. Vince, Lisa, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And I know Lisa's not feeling too hot, so we're going to talk to Vince mostly. But it's an open mic, so people might hear her.
I appreciate it, guys. Glad to be part of the show.
So, Scab, you invited Vince on. Why don't you take the wheel here, brother, and let's talk a little bit about the kind of situations that they see here as they're traveling all over the place.
Yeah, Vince and I got to know each other pretty well a few years back. Good enough that he's an admin on my page. He runs Bailey the Service Dog Pup. And what's your new truck driving page or events?
It's Cowboy Up Logistics.
And you can find them out there. And he posts a lot of pictures of what's going on in the truck driving world with him. But I wanted to get him on so they could talk about their interactions with the public. They've got two service dogs. Is Lisa's dog still in training events?
No, it's trained. It's actually a, what is it? He's Pekingese and Shih Tzu mix. So Pekingese is what she calls it.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's also a self-trained dog. Vince trained Bailey, but there was no organizations that trained this dog.
So no, both are self-trained.
So kind of like what JJ did. So why don't you give us a little background on Bailey, and then you give us a little background on the other dog.
Bailey's actually a five-year-old. No, actually, she's six now. She's a six-year-old English lab. She's trained basically for my PTSD. She does most of the, you know, basic cover, anxiety, deep pressure therapy. Pikachu, he's five. He'll be six in March. He's trained for a lot of the same things. And he's also trained for her blood pressure. He recognizes when her blood pressure goes up, when she gets migraines, stuff like that as well.
That's kind of unique. Yep. Now, how they get along in a truck? Because I know the truck's not that big.
Let's put it this way. If you want to know what truck driving is like with your spouse and two dogs, lock your spouse and two dogs in the bathroom. Only come out about every 4 or 5 hours for about 20 minutes. And do that for about 2 weeks and see if you can survive it.
A lot of people say that, you know, if you're going to marry, you're good in marriage if you can spend an hour with them in traffic. Well, you have to figure, we spent 100,000 miles in 6 months together in traffic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. It's
a good thing you both have PTSD dogs.
Exactly. Nothing like an 85-pound lab trying to crawl in your lap when you're in traffic because you're flipping the fuck out.
Isn't that the truth? I've got a 100-pound dog that does the same thing when traffic's really bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, try L.A. traffic about 5 o'clock in the evening.
No, thank you.
Yeah. And been there, guys, done that many a times.
And you're both coast-to-coast drivers, correct?
Correct. We run all 48.
Nice. Oh, I couldn't imagine, dude. You know what the traffic's like where I live right now. I couldn't do this in every damn state in the 48. There's no way.
It's only bad like around the major cities like LA, Houston, Georgia, Atlanta's got to be some of the worst traffic you ever get into. But luckily, Lisa drives during the day.
With all the traffic.
With all the traffic, because she can handle it better than I can. And I drive all night, so I don't have to deal with nobody.
Awesome.
As long as I don't bleed the air out of the air horn, we're fine.
All right. So let's get down into the nitty gritty. Let's get this public access. You guys both have dogs. What's it like when you're out and both handling dogs in the public setting? As you're in, like, every state. So what's some of the experiences you've had running these dogs in tandem?
Most time, truck stops, stuff like that are not bad. Most time, the worst problem I have is hotels.
Okay.
I mean, there's some states that we stay at every once in a while that try to demand paperwork, and we all know the paperwork's BS.
Right.
So I had to threaten to get DOD or DOJ and all that involved. And,
We've been told
they've got to show some kind of registration card and all that, and try to explain to them it's BS there too.
Then they want to
try to get into your personal business, want to know what they're trained exactly for and what kind of medical conditions you have and all that. Shippers and stuff don't have too many problems.
Yeah, JJ and I hear that a lot from people on our page. I'm sure you hear it a lot on people on your pages. Hotels are usually the biggest culprit.
Oh yeah, we got there's one in Nashville that our company uses that I fought tooth and nail with.
And then they always charge us extra.
They try to charge us extra, and sometimes they charge us extra because it's just a pet policy or whatever. And I try to explain to them it's not a pet policy, but instead of fighting with them, because my blood pressure goes through the roof, my PTSD starts kicking in. I just do, you know what? Screw it. I'm not there that long anyway. It's just, that's our biggest issue is hotels.
Right.
Is there one chain in particular you have issues with, or is it just hotels in general?
It's random. Let's see. We stay at Howard Johnson's every once in a while. No problems there. Red Roof, no problem. Super 8, no problem. It's usually like the small private-owned places.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the big chains, but just a
locally owned.
Yeah, the locally owned, the foreign owned, unfortunately.
The ones that smell like curry.
Well, there is, unfortunately, a cultural difference I have noticed, and a lot of times people of Far Eastern or Middle Eastern descent have problems with dogs, with service dogs, and don't understand the law, and it's been challenging. I've had some experiences too. It's just oddly enough, and I actually call them out in my book, so I don't feel bad about naming the chain, but I've had consistent problems with Days Inn. For some reason, Days Inn doesn't like to educate their franchise owners about service dogs.
And, right.
So I really don't hesitate to throw them under the bus. And I don't call businesses out, but Days Inn is consistent. I always have a rough time at Days Inn.
Yeah, the one we have the most problem with is the one in Nashville that our company uses. It's called the Hallmark Inn. Mm-hmm. I usually don't call out business, but that one I've dealt with on numerous occasions, especially when we're at the yard. And I fight with them tooth and nail. I mean, I've almost been thrown out of that place. I got so hot.
Yeah, I believe it.
They make you stay outside.
Yeah, usually I stay outside and Lisa goes in and checks us in because they know me. And if I go in there, it's just going to be an ugly situation.
Yeah.
You know, that's fantastic right there, because when I have to deal with hotels, my wife usually is, you know, point man on that thing. Okay. She'll deal with the people behind the counter because I don't want to get into trouble.
Yeah, that's the same way here, man.
And you're right. It's always the hotel. I can go into a grocery store or a restaurant, and there very, very few times do I get questioned. And if I do,
yeah, that's same.
They know the rules.
Yeah, it's the same with us. I mean, we can walk into any truck stop because we frequent truck stops all over the country. Don't have a lick of problem. A lot of them, a lot of them are going pet friendly nowadays, but most of them are marked service dogs only. So I don't have a whole lot of problem with a lot of them. It's just a few smaller ones that we deal with every now and then, but we can go into the restaurant inside the truck stop and not have a problem. I've had a few issues with Denny's once in a while, but I usually can get that straightened out.
Right. Yeah. Just uneducated younger employee or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's usually the younger employees that have no clue. So I carry, like, I'm pretty much carry an ADA card or some kind of ADA pamphlet or whatever. I pull up the website, whatever, and just explain the situation to them. And that usually don't work when you say something about calling DOJ and making a complaint. It usually changes the manager's mind pretty quick.
Well, last summer I was at a really high-class establishment with friends of mine in the club, and I was sitting on the open-air patio, and one of the younger employees came up and said that they don't allow dogs here. And I said, well, he's a service dog. And the guy says, it doesn't matter, we don't allow dogs here. I said, well, you got two issues. He said, what's that? I said, you can either go get a manager or you can call the police. And he just kind of looked at me, and he said, excuse me? I said, go get a manager or call the police. There's the only two options you have right now. And he ran off, like literally ran and got a manager. And the manager come up and said, do we have a problem? I said, I don't know. Do we? And then we sat there and discussed it. And the next thing you know, me and Scout are having a good time on the patio.
Right.
And it's a problem for us too, because like a very busy restaurant where everything is close quarters, you can't get a booth where his back's to the wall. He needs that, you know, comfort, or, you know, the service dog there at those points more than ever.
Right.
You know, and for them to give us a hard time and then sit him square in the middle of a restaurant, that can be a huge issue. It's to their detriment for them not to allow the Bailey in there.
Right. Yeah, I'll usually let them sit me anywhere, and I try to, you know, my wife will ask me which side of the booth or the chairs that I want, and then I let Scout do his job. But, you know, most of the time I can position myself. If they sit me in the middle restaurant, then I'm not really comfortable, but we deal with it.
Yeah, I deal with it as long as I got her with me. It's easier. But if for some reason I run in and don't have her with me and they sit me in the middle, it's usually not in there too long.
Right. If it's my wife or God forbid, Scout's not there, I'm not going in. We'll go through Wendy's or something.
Exactly. I mean, it's a little harder for us because, you know, our vehicle's 13, almost 14 foot tall, but so we can't go through the drive through. So I might have to run in real quick.
Right.
And luckily with me driving at night, there's not a whole lot of people in at night. But if I had to go in during the day, I make sure I take her with me, because if not, it's usually not a good situation.
Oh, man. So the pet friendly, does that put you back in the mind of working for that other place you worked before you went back on the road?
Oh, yeah. Reminds me a whole lot of that place. I mean, I've had dogs bark at Bailey and try to come up to her and all that. And usually if I just give that veteran desk there, they usually figure it out pretty quick.
And people that want to pet your puppy.
Oh, yeah. Just like, you know how it goes. People want to pet your dog and this and that. And it's like, just come on, leave me alone. What, I got a big beacon on my head?
Yeah, I gave JJ a heads up that you used to work for a home improvement store that was pet friendly. And I don't know if we should name them or not, but that you and Bailey had some issues working there.
Yeah, she got attacked by two dogs that were on leash, but the owner wasn't holding them. And they come running down the aisle at her and pinned her up against the thing, and I had to jump between the two, between them. And then the owner of the dogs is like, oh, they ain't doing nothing wrong, they're friendly. Like, they don't look like they're friendly, barking, snarling, and all that mess, got her pinned up. Mm. I lasted about 15 minutes after that, and I ended up going home for the day because I was a total mess.
Yeah, no kidding. That's scary.
But I had to put her back, you know, I had to start training with her. You know, training never stops, but I had to retrain her to be around other animals because she was scared. And I tried to get compensation for that through our company, through the company I was working for. And they're like, oh, it wasn't our fault. I was like, no, it's your fault for allowing them in. Mm-hmm. Even though this place actually has signs on the doors that says no pets, but they still allow them in. You know, apparently it's manager discretion.
You know, ironically, the one place I had the biggest problem with was Tractor Supply. I've been told I could not bring my dog into Tractor Supply more than any other establishment ever.
What is this? I can't hear her.
Oh, she was having problems with Tractor Supply, unbelievably, because they're pet friendly.
Yeah, I don't. I try not to take Scout there anymore for the same similar reason you did with a aggressive dog.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is, I mean, anytime you take go into a pet friendly, I mean, I won't even walk into Petco with Bailey.
And the biggest issue with I have with Tractor Supply is they have those mobile vets that come down there to do shots and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't pay attention to those dates, being a service dog handler, and you show up on those dates, everybody and their brother's there with their dogs. And
oh, yeah, I've done it before by accident.
Right. And you've got small framed females with, like, Great Danes.
Oh, yeah.
You're just drug across the parking lot. It's not a good place to be. That's when you just turn around and put your dog back in the car and go home.
Yeah. I mean, I was in one time and I had a guy that had a St. Bernard that wasn't on leash running around the store, come up to her, pinned her up. I mean, just people have no respect.
I'm all for pet friendly stores, but you need to have your dog under control.
Yeah. Train your pet.
Right.
Yeah. Train them. Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's their pet as opposed to their service animal, and they're not trained. They don't bother to, I mean, I'd be surprised if they knew what sit meant.
Right. And how many pet stores have I gone to with Scout where Scout's actually stopped and smelled a pillar or a corner of an aisle where there's been an accident or, you know, the dog's raised his leg.
Yep.
Oh yeah. I've been there, done that with Bailey. She'll sniff because she smells something where somebody's peed on something.
Right. But yeah, I don't tend to frequent those buildings with Scout because, you know, like you said, you had to retrain Bailey. That's not an easy task to do, you know, because
it's not.
It's a constant. It's a constant.
Training never ends.
Right. We're constantly going over the basics and everything we do on a daily basis now. I couldn't imagine trying to re-socialize him with a dog that he's been attacked by. Let alone, you know, two dogs attacking him.
Right.
It would be a nightmare.
Oh, it was a nightmare.
And then expect him to go back to work with me, you know, knowing that he was attacked there the day before. I don't know.
Well, it's one of the reasons I chose a small dog because and Pikachu has been bit in the face twice by large dogs in situations like that. And so I have a tendency that when we are in a public place, I mean, I carry him anyways because of my anxiety.
Uh-huh.
And I just have this, I don't know, what's it called, honey?
What?
Where I have to be touching. But anyways, my anxiety, it dissipates when I have him in my hands. So it's just a little easier and it keeps him safer.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely something there to talk about size, especially for psychiatric service dogs. You know, I chose a 100-pound dog because I have some mobility issues. But the other reason I chose a 100-pound dog is because generally people will leave you alone if you have a huge dog, generally. But then there, you know, are still the people who are idiots and want to get you up in your
throat. Yeah.
So,
you know, what she said kind of makes sense, though, because petting a dog, it releases some of that anxiety and stress.
Well, so it releases.
Yeah, the endorphins are completely different.
Yeah, it releases reduces adrenaline. It releases oxytocin and reduces. I'm getting this all backwards and messed up.
That's
the stress hormones and releases the calming hormones.
Right.
So and to have that scientifically proven.
To have that put into a PTSD dog that you're able to carry, it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that's...
Yeah, I chose a bigger dog because I have actually got Bailey trained, and if I go into a PTSD episode where I can't control myself, I've actually trained her to knock me down and sit on me.
Gee, and she Peter will. Does the same thing. Sounds familiar. You literally have no choice when you have a dog that, you know, 70 to 100 pounds laying on you. You have one choice, one choice only: pet the dog.
Yeah. And right. That's down. Right.
You can't do anything else. The dog, I mean, you know, you're not going to throw a 75, 85, 100-pound dog off of you and get back up and start swinging again. It just doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
You know, especially when it's when you have that relationship with your dog and you, you know, and you've got to the point where your dog is laying on you and holding you down. Even in my worst, if Skeeter's holding me down, I know better than to get back up, you know?
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And see, and Pikachu does this. He gets in my lap and then throws himself backwards. So it's all fours are up in the air. I'm forced to rub his belly.
Yep. And people don't think that that's valid, that the, you know, the deep pressure therapy with the big dogs, light pressure therapy with the little dogs are valid. However, it has been medically proven to release those calming hormones to
any simple blood test can tell you that.
Yeah. It's one of those arguments that we see, especially with the VA. Well, there's no empirical proof that dogs help. Well, actually there is, you just don't want to look at the studies that show it. That's a bone of contention I have with the VA, their argument about lack of empirical evidence, especially since half the drugs they assign you for psychiatric reasons are, based on patient-reported outcome, not empirical evidence.
Right.
And, I mean, somebody like me, I've been on just about every antipsychotic, antidepressive, SSRI, SSNR, NI that's ever been made. And within 3 months, I'm actually suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 50 years old in May. And they say that... these drugs can cause suicidal tendencies in teenagers. Well, what about the 50-year-old that in 3 months' time they become suicidal?
Yeah.
You know, and they don't look at that because nobody talks about it. Nobody admits that they have those feelings because what happens? They want to put you in a hospital. Mm-hmm. Give me a dog. I'm much better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but see, there's no money for the hospitals and dogs.
No. Oh, yeah. Is that
exactly
what it is?
Exactly.
And that's just, we know it's funny. I was just talking about this with Bart earlier today, Scav, about why the VA resists and how Big Pharma has a lot to do with it. There's right. No money. Once veterans get dogs, they stop taking all the pills.
Oh, absolutely.
There's definitely money involved in this.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely money. That's why I used a private doctor between my private therapist and my private doctor. I had no problem getting a service dog. They were like, I'd rather give you a dog than give you pills.
Yeah. It's exactly the opposite at the VA. They absolutely resist dogs and push pills.
Yeah, because they're getting paid all that money on the side.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love it. And, you know, folks are going to be like, oh, that's just conspiracy talk. No, that's our lives. That's veterans' yeah. lives. That's
exactly
how the VA treats us.
Anybody that thinks Big Pharma ain't got a hand into it has not paid attention to any political debate ever.
Right. And it, from the experience, you know, from the amitriptyline or the nortriptyline to the Prozac to this other garbage pill that they just had me on, I don't remember half of the 90s.
Right.
You know, it's just walking around in a damn zombie-like state. I don't, you know.
And they certainly don't take away the nightmares.
No.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Vince and Lisa about traveling across the country as truck drivers, both with service dogs. And it's great to have you guys on, and it's great to hear more perspective from other people. Makes it kind of encouraging because it helps me realize I'm not just talking into a box, but there are people out there who are seeing things the same way. You're listening to The Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR. We'll be right back.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound up, watch on Bandit Run.
Radio. The holiday season isn't always about physical gifts. Sometimes it is more than that. So during this holiday season, give to dvfarm.org. The DV Farm in Gilsum, New Hampshire is dedicated to helping addicted and homeless veterans get their lives back on track. Help them and let them know that they have a purpose and they are not alone. They watched your six when they volunteered. Now you can watch their six. Give to dvfarm.org today.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. That's Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not an endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by TV Radio for your charge.
Nothing to watch on TV. That's why you're listening to Barrett's Talk on DVRadio.net, WDVR.
This ain't reality TV!
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal.
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
Oh, rude! Well, isn't that special?
Bloody, don't you think you should rephrase that?
Mama said that.
Good day, sir!
Now class is dismissed, gentlemen.
And welcome back to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Peak TS Dog.
I'm your host, Scab.
We're here with Vince and Lisa, who are both disabled veterans. Both handle service dogs. Vince got an 80-pound English setter. Is that correct?
English Lab.
English Lab. And Lisa has a Pikachu. It's a little mixed breed. You know, they travel back and forth across the country, visit different truck stops, hotels, and things like that. And during the break, we were talking a little bit about one of the most challenging things, which is that if somebody in the truck gets sick, everybody in the truck gets sick. But I had a question, and actually, and it has to do with when you're driving an 18-wheeler. For me, when I'm gonna go someplace with Skeeter, we have a routine. We park in a certain area. We go to if there's bushes or grass, that's the first place we go, and Skeeter gets to potty to his heart's content. And then we do kind of a little routine to get him prepared, and then we go in. How does that work? First of all, there's two of you, two service dogs, and you're climbing down out of and up into a much different vehicle that's going to have to park in much different areas. So let's say you need to go run into the truck stop for food or you know, you need to run into the Walmart for new socks or something. How do you deal with this mechanical every day of just getting unloaded, getting loaded? What's that like? Walk us through that.
Same thing.
Pretty much the same thing you're talking that you do. Bailey doesn't wear a vest in the truck, so when I pull it out and put it on her, she knows she's getting ready to go to work. But we'll park somewhere in a truck stop close to grass. We'll let them go in pot and go out potty, do whatever they need to do. And then we'll go in. A little more time consuming. Bailey pretty much can jump out of the truck on her own without getting hurt.
How high is that truck up there? Just so the listeners can get an idea.
It's about 4 feet from about 4 feet from the bottom of the door to the ground.
Yeah, because I've cut enough of them open that I kind of know that's a pretty good jump.
Yeah, she can get out of the truck, no problem. Getting her back in, we've got her trained to where she will actually climb up, put her front legs up on the steps, and then just pick her up from the back end, and she'll actually walk up into the truck that way. Pikachu being small, you just pick him up, toss him in, he's no problem.
Throw him over your shoulder.
Yeah, toss him like he's a rag, just throw him in.
He's 15 pounds on a good day, so he's not a big issue.
Grooming is an issue.
And grooming's a big problem with him because he's long-haired. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we got to make sure we stop at Petco about once a month, get him groomed up real good. Bailey, I usually just take her in, get her washed. Or some of the truck stops actually have dog washes at them now. Because there are so many drivers that have dogs. So that's always a good thing. A lot of the truck stops are actually put in pet areas now. So you got like a fenced in area so you can let them off leash for a few minutes, do what they need to do or whatever.
But again, you have to watch out because if there was a sick dog in there, you're likely to take your dog in there and then catch whatever was, you know, left behind and bring it back to the truck with you.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point is no matter where you go, if you use places like dog parks or pot, you know, special specific potty areas, you have to be very careful because you don't know. Unfortunately, not everybody's responsible, especially as responsible as service dog handlers who, you know, we rely on our dogs for our lives.
Right.
And so people aren't diligent about vaccinations. People don't know that if your dog's sick, don't take it to the dog park because it could spread. You know, people don't think.
No.
Right. And you know, we are required, because they're service dogs, we always have to have their vet checks and everything available and on hand.
Right.
You know, we can't just walk in and go, oh, my dog's fine. No, if I could take Pikachu in to get groomed, and I'm in California and he has a vet in Florida, I have to have his papers with me, showing where he had his vaccinations, all of that. You know, and they have to be valid within a year. So, I mean, but, you know, other people, other places don't require that. You go to a dog park or whatever, and this dog's never been seen by a vet.
Yeah, and you guys are kind of in a sticky situation, because Joaquin and I, we run service dogs every day, and we go out in the public, but we go out in the public when we choose. You're out in the public every single minute of every single day.
Exactly.
Yes.
So your dogs are being exposed to the plagues of the world.
Yes.
I mean, you know, whether you stop at a dog park or whether you stop at Walmart, you know, where every other dog is taking a piss on the bush, you know, we can kind of control where our dogs go. Scout comes home every night. You know, I know what's going on back there. You guys don't really have a home per se.
Mm-mm.
You know, you've got your truck.
And then, you know, you also have the fact that when we park in a truck stop, there could have been a stock trailer parked exactly where we were. Right. So there could have been anything from chickens to goats to pigs to sheep to cows.
Yeah, and you could have had the avian flu, the you could have had the bovine virus, you know, anything.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, I mean, we deal with a lot.
Right. Now, it's something that I never really thought of until you guys started talking about this. I'm like, wow, it's just, it can be overwhelming.
And sometimes it is. And we both have to look at each other and take a breath and pet our dogs so we don't throttle each other.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, I think it brings up a good point, though. And I think it's something that all service dog handlers should think about is, look, the places where people take their pets are not necessarily the safest places to take your service dog, because you don't know. I mean, service dog handlers, we know we're supposed to keep the dog's health, you know, up to date, make sure their shots and everything are good to go. We stay on top of that because our dog is our lifeline. So our whole focus on how we care for our dogs is completely different than most pet owners. And I'm not saying all pet owners are bad and they don't worry about training their dogs and they don't keep on top of their vaccinations, because many, many of them do, but many of them don't.
There's always that one asshole.
Yeah. And one dog with parvo can infect an entire dog lot, an entire dog park.
Well, oh, exactly.
And it's like you were saying, you go to Tractor Supply for one of those pet vaccination fair things, and if the dog in front of you has a disease that it hasn't been vaccinated for yet, your dog's going to get it before it gets vaccinated. So, I mean, why would you even attend something like
that? Well, I know the one guy, thank God he's no longer in the family, but he chained his dogs to a box. He doesn't touch them until hunting season.
Oh my God.
And the only time they come out is the one time a year when he's required to get them a rabies shot. He takes them to Tractor Supply. So God forbid, what do those dogs have? Because I mean, when they come off the hill, they're covered in burrs and ticks and everything else.
Yeah.
And he's dragging them through that damn store. And, yep. And they act like a bunch of rabid savages.
Because they're not hardly trained, and he's not paying attention to them. I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah,
the only time he sees them,
devices.
Yeah, the only time he sees them is when he runs them a bowl of water and a bowl of food every night before he goes to bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What you're exposing your dog to when you take him to someplace like that.
Yeah, that's why 99% of the time, unless it's something we have to do there, we don't go.
Right. We strictly limit our outside exposure to what is absolutely necessary.
Right. But, you know, a lot of people don't think about this stuff. And they really should. And that's, you know, I make sure.
Especially scouts, if they have service dogs.
Yeah. I make sure, you know, Scout shots are up to date. I make sure Baxter and Sadie shots are up to date, and they never leave the damn house. But you don't know what Scout's bringing home to them.
Exactly.
Well, and that's just it, is that, you know, like I said, most service dog handlers, these things go through our minds. But there are a lot of service dog handlers and a lot of veterans who get dogs from organizations, and they may have never owned a dog before in their life. And it's great that they're able to get dogs to help with their disability. But at the same time, what kind of education are these organizations giving these people about just general handling of a dog, just maintaining the dog's health, feeding, you know, safety. These are all things, you know, I've been a dog owner my entire life. I learned a lot of these lessons when I was very young. But there are some people who are being handed leashes who don't know thing one about having a dog. And that's one of the challenges that I've found and that I face regularly, is just trying to teach the people who don't know any better without offending them, without pissing them off so that they go the other direction. And isolate themselves further, because you know what? Yes, the dog can be very helpful, but guess what? You're work just as hard as the dog does. It's a team. It's not a plug and play experience. It's a team.
And I mean, like we had said earlier, the dogs go through continuous training. Mm-hmm. You know, what does the person getting the dog go through? What are they taught?
Yeah, depends on where they go. 3 weeks of training of how to handle your service dog is not sufficient.
Yeah, JJ and I are big on cooperative training, self-training. We won't get into that right now, but Vince knows how I feel on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Goes on for the life of the dog. If you don't have that mindset, guess what? You're going to have problems, because you don't know what to do if the dog's doing something it shouldn't be, right? You know?
Right.
Dog can't tell you, well, this is why I'm doing it. You don't have any experience about the dog, you know? You've got to learn to handle your dog. It's got, right. Handling a service dog is a verb. It is an action. It implies, it's not even implicit. It specifically means that you are actively engaged in the ins and outs of working that dog.
Oh, exactly. Right. I mean, because we go to, you know, us running flatbed, we go to a lot of job sites. Mm-hmm. You know, so we had, you know, a lot of times, you know, if I'm going to check in or whatever, I'll take her with me. But you know, when they start moving equipment around and all that, yeah, you know, we got to be active, you know, to your surroundings and all that. I mean, our situations change every day. I mean, we could be at a job site one day, we could be at a pipe yard next day, you know, it just really depends. I mean, we've been to copper mines, you know, our situation changes, areas change every day. Mm-hmm. Never know where we're going to be.
Delivering at a certain home improvement store.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know your dog. When your dog's not acting right, you know there's something wrong with it, because you've been with that dog since day one.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, when I got Pikachu, he fit inside my coffee cup.
Right, and so when
my coffee cup was 45 ounces, but no.
So when Pikachu's having an off day, or he's not feeling quite up to himself, whether he's just having a bad day or whether he's sick, you know it instantly.
Yeah, and you know, me and Vince and I have been together long enough, and he's been with Pikachu. We both can look at either of the dogs and go, something's not right.
Right, and he'll still work, because that dog will die working for you.
Yes, absolutely.
And Scout's the same way. He will not let me leave him home. You know, I took him to work and he was puking all over the place. I had to take 3 days off on vacation because my dog's sick. I had to bring him home. But that son of a bitch would not stay home without me.
I've had to do that. Take several days off because Bailey was sick.
You were right. Talking about last week. You told me so,
thank God I could, you know, work from home and get some of this stuff done. But yeah, there was no way he was going to let me go without him.
Yeah, they both of these two got into something last week, and I mean, so they were both sick for a couple of days.
It's that spit bottle you got rolling around on the truck floor. You know, it belongs to Lisa.
Yeah, but they got into something, and I mean, I wouldn't take her in because, you know, she was sick.
Right.
And she sits in the she'll sit in the driver's seat and watch until I get back, and then when I get back, she jumps from one seat to the other back and forth across the truck because she's like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be in this truck.
Yeah.
You'd think two bears are fighting in the truck when she gets like that.
Yeah, they just... If I leave Scout in a Jeep to walk into a building, dude, you'd think the world ended. And then when I get back in the Jeep, he'll ignore me. I'm surprised he doesn't piss all over the back seat, to tell you the truth. Well, JJ, you had that experience when they took your truck.
Yeah, I said never more to work for the first time after we moved out here, and she took the truck, and Skeeter saw saw mommy drive the truck away, and he looked at me, walked over to the back door, and lifted his leg on the curtain because he was pissed because somebody else was in his truck.
Oh, wow.
He stared right at me, too, met me in the eye, and lifted his leg like, hey, buddy, fuck you.
That's my truck.
All right. Well, it's like when me and Lisa got together, she was worried about the interaction between Bailey and Pikachu. I was like, you got nothing to worry about. She was scared to death that something was going to happen. I said, no, she's trained to where she knows what she's doing, and she's not going to bother him. And she was having pure anxiety attacks over what was going to happen between the two dogs when we put him in a small space.
Because he's so little, and he's got bit in the face.
Yeah, Bailey's such a big, aggressive dog, man. You know,
she's, oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I tell people all the time, you better watch out. You know, she'll lick you to death.
And it's true. Pikachu will not lick you in the face, will not lick you anywhere, ever. He won't lick you. Bailey, she's the exact opposite. She'll lick you everywhere.
So we're getting towards the end of the show. I want to have your worst access experience and where in the country it was, and your best access experience.
And the worst would be in Nashville at a hotel.
Yes.
I pretty much cussed and hollered for about a good 20 minutes. Finally got my point across. They're like, oh, I'm not dealing with this anymore. And just let us go.
The best was in South Dakota.
Was that in a hotel?
We broke down
in South Dakota, had to have the truck towed. The tow truck guys were awesome. They're like, oh, yeah, no problem whatsoever.
They brought us two trucks because they were single cab trucks. They brought us two trucks because of two people and two dogs wouldn't fit in one. So they even sent a second tow truck out there.
Wow.
To make sure we all got picked up at the same time. The shop was phenomenal with us and the dogs. The hotel was great. And that was in South Dakota.
Yeah.
You know, I loved South Dakota when I was out there.
It was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
But that was the best. I mean, like I said, we didn't have any problem with the truck, with the tow truck companies or the hotel or anything.
You know, if my wife wouldn't have seen those barriers on the interstate for when the snow was going to fly, we'd have been living out there by now. She had to ask somebody what those barriers were for.
First time I saw them, I had to ask. I didn't know. I was raised in Florida. I had no idea.
I had property picked out and everything, and she had to go and ask somebody what those goddamn barriers were for.
No offense.
Yep, I didn't know.
No, well.
I got to tell you, when Skeeter and I were traveling, we got stuck in on the west side of the Rockies coming from west to east in Wyoming. And so literally, like, we made it past one gate where they gate off 80. And by the time we got to the next one, they'd closed the freeway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been a few years, but I did a trip from Indianapolis to Washington State. Took 3 days to get out there. coming back to Indianapolis, it took a week and a half because of snow.
Yeah. And that's, it's, you know, especially when you get on the eastern slope side, you're coming down towards the border there, to, you know, towards Denver and Laramie.
I had never seen
over on their side before. And you know, I wouldn't believe it unless I saw it. Guess, well, I saw it. It's real. It gets bad out there. It gets bad.
You got it 80,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Then that's scary.
Luckily, you know, the hotel was very, very cool there in where did I get stuck? Casper, I think. And the hotel was great.
That's where we want to live.
Yeah, it's beautiful up there.
I love Casper.
But yeah, the hotel was really good. They didn't have any issues with Skeeter. And it was, Skeeter's weird. Skeeter, usually if we're on a road trip, he's gotten better. But 3 years ago when we were coming back out here, he hadn't pooped for 4 days because we were on the road. He just wasn't going to do it. And finally, we got stuck at that hotel and the dam broke.
Oh, my God.
Outside, look, I got him outside. And there was actually a guy who ran a therapy dog training business. And he had one of his dogs with him, a very nice dog. And he, you know, the dog, Skeeter was actually like, I don't care about that dog. I have to go potty. And the guy's like wanting to talk to me about Skeeter. And he finally squats because we've been out there for 10 or 15 minutes. And, you know, the wind's blowing and it's like 12 degrees. And finally squats. And the guy's like wanting to talk. I'm like, look, he hasn't pooped in 4 days. Can you let us do our thing? I think I'm going to leave us alone. But it was like, oh man, even people in the dog world, this guy trains therapy dogs, which is wonderful. They're great, you know, but even people in the dog world don't understand. Sometimes service dogs need space. You just got to let them be, do their thing.
They got to poop.
They got to do what they got to do so they can go back to work.
And a lot of times it's hard. I think it's harder on them than it is on us a lot of times because we have a time schedule. It's just like this run right now, 5,000 miles in 4 days is, I mean, it's, we don't stop if we don't have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have, when I'm driving, I have to remind myself, these dogs need to go out.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually,
so,
that's one of the, when I was doing my big road trips, that was one of the things that helped me stay awake and stuff is, I knew that I had to have to stop about every 3 hours for Skeeter's sake. So that kept me from running myself into the ground.
Well, that's a good way to be. Sometimes when, you know, you're on a time schedule, though, you don't think that way.
Yeah.
There's times where I will stop and never leave the truck if you get my point.
Yeah.
I know. And I mean, I'm not even stopped for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And Vince had to get on me. He had to remind me, hey, if you've got to go to the bathroom, are they feeling?
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, Pikachu has always traveled with me. I traveled for my work before we started driving together. But so I, you know, would stop when I stopped and Pikachu would go out and I never really had to make a point of it. Now I have to remind myself and make a point of making sure that they're taken care of.
Yep. It changes your, using the service dog changes your whole focus, changes your whole life. It
absolutely.
And for the most part, for the better.
I agree.
Well, that gives us takes us about time. Want to thank you both, Vince and Lisa, for joining us and just sharing a little bit of a different lifestyle with service dogs. I don't think it's a perspective a lot of handlers have ever heard. So thank you very much for joining us and kind of filling us in on what life on the road with your service dog is like. Anything either of you would like to add, if you've got Facebook pages for your dogs or anything, go ahead and share that information.
Yeah, I appreciate you having us on. Like I said, it's nice to be able to get our perspective out. You can follow Bailey on Bailey's a Service Pup on Facebook. We also have a trucking page called Cowboy Up Logistics to post pictures on there, quite a bit of our travels and all that. Haven't had a whole lot of time to update it here recently with this run we've been doing, but this run's getting ready to end, so we're going to be updating that more and doing more pictures on Bailey's page, some of the adventures and stuff that we go on and all that.
Great, great. You have been listening to the Service Dog Show here on DV Radio, WDVR. There are other programs that, other than this on DV Radio. If you'd like, check out on Friday nights at 9:30 p.m. Frag Out, Drag Out with Nevermore, DV Midnight Frosty, DV Oink, and Uncle Fester. It's a great show. They've been featuring veteran-owned and run businesses lately in preparation for the holidays. By the way, this is the first episode post-Christmas and the last episode of the year. So we hope you did have a happy holiday. Have a safe and wonderful New Year's Eve celebration. Be smart. Don't drink and drive. Find a designated driver. Take an Uber. And if you are celebrating with your service dog by your side, please make sure that your buddy is safe as well. You have been listening to the Service Dog Show right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.